What has gotten into me? I'm doing another episode. This is Council Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Vixen. On this fresh episode, we are talking about the advisory council, the benefits, the roles. When should you have it? Why should you have it? Those type of questions. Of course, my housekeeping items and my final thoughts on award season. That time of the year, not the Oscars, not the Emmys, not the Grammys. School Council Awards. And this is the part of the show I say, let's go. As you know, we are in October. As I record this, I'm recording this on the 16th of October. And the deadline for ramp applications, I believe, was the 15th. They might have extended it, but that's the usual deadline for ramp applications. For those that are new to school council or vaguely familiar with ramp, ramp is a recognized ASCA model program, which means your school council program are doing the things that ASCA wants to see from school counselors. If you give a definition of what that is, we go to ASCA's website. The recognized ASCA model program recognizes schools committed to delivering school counseling programs aligned with the ASCA National Model Framework. This designation demonstrates to administrators, school boards, families, and the community at large that the schools are committed to supporting the mission of the school in the district. To date, approximately 1,300 schools have earned a ramp designation. So, that is the heart of what ramp is. And wanted it to me, because if you're a data-driven counselor, the data piece of closing the gap and SMART goals and all this stuff should be easy. Tracking your goals, tracking your time. That's the easiest part of being a school counselor. To me, it's advisory council. What should my advisory council look like? Now, we define what, of course, this comes from the ASCA National Model 4th Edition. School Council Advisory Councils are stakeholders who guide and support the council program, provide feedback on annual student outcome goals and results. They advocate for the program and learn the role of the school counselor, which means it'd be great if you had folks in your committee who they knew what the role of counsel were, but sometimes you want to get somebody from an outside experience, like business owners or community leaders, pastors, regular construction workers. You get a city board member on there, and they might know that you can counsel talk to kids, but you don't know, they might not know that we do, a plethora of other things for our students. So that's why advisory councils need to be diverse as well as vast in your recommendations of people on that committee. And for those that listen to the show, you're an experienced counselor, you might be new counselors. We'll get to the makeup of that team in just a minute. Going back to the ASCA model, they advise on council program goals, the results, recommendation about your program, advocating and engaging in public relations for your school council program goes back to marketing. Need to meet at least twice a year. We'll talk about that in just a second. And advocate for funding and resources for your program, which means you might try to take a college trip for your eighth graders to Fort Valley. You need money for buses. Have a community leader donate some money for some kids to go that can't afford to go. That's the main thing. Now, the makeup of the team. The makeup of the team or the representation of your team should be varied. Now, the members of your team should reflect the community's diversity, which means it shouldn't just be folks in the building. It's just the adults. When we say stakeholders, we don't mean just the teachers and the administrators and the board members. We meet your school counselor, students, parents, teachers, administrators, your school counselor, school board members, and business and community leaders. If you got local leadership with Walmart or we'll just say Jamba Juice or something like that, have them come in and sit on the council and just spend about 20 minutes in your meeting, making sure that they understand what their community community stakeholder beliefs are being placed in with your school. So when we look at students, at least one student, teachers that should be, one teacher would suffice, but if you have a large population, let's say my school, we have 1,119 students. You want a little bit of everybody. You might want to give the teacher a special ed teacher. You can even have a teacher as a parent to cover that role. You want to have a teacher that's over MTSS, a first year teacher. If you have any teachers that are not of American descent, somebody that was born in another country that you could vibe with, you could do that also. Board member, to me, let me tell you what I did in my last school. The board member is the toughest person to get because of their meetings. And remember, board members meet once or twice a month, depending on the reason why they're meeting once or twice a month, which means you would have to get them on their schedule. A couple things I did for this year for my school, never go back to my last school. But this year for our advisory council, I made sure I had asked my co-counsel what we need to have for our advisory council. I also emailed those candidates. Once I got their confirmation that they want to participate, I also created a survey for when we should meet. So that way the ball is in their court when we meet. So that way when I say I didn't think I could meet, well, we consensus said we're gonna meet on this date. So we did meet them. We got the date set for this year and for this semester and next semester. So that way we don't have to scramble for dates. All I do now is create the calendar invites for the second semester and have it done. I already created a presentation. We meet in 2 weeks on the 31st, Halloween. I know it's a crazy day to meet on, but that's what everybody said. It's no skin off my back. Get it out the way. Now, my last county I worked in Bibb County. What I did was for our advisory council meetings, we did it for back-to-back meetings for spring and the fall. We knew that the board member was going to be the hardest person to get there. So we started advisory council in 2018, I believe, 2017, spring 2017, something like that. Fall, spring 2018, somewhere around there. What we did was we collaborated with our feeder schools. We had three feeder elementaries, one middle school and one high school. The high school never participated. I can't control what they do, but it made sense for them because that way we all meet. Of course, middle school, we get out later. They get out at 2:30, we get out at 4, which means our meeting started at 4:30, which means they have to hang out for 3 hours or something like that at their school or come leave and then come back. But what we did was we combined all three middle schools. We put our data together and we presented together as a zone. We had a parent that represented all the feeder schools. We had teachers from our building that could make it. Had the board member. We had the administrator from my building to support. And we had all the counselors from the zone. So we met the criteria of just about every position. And what you can also do with advisory councils as well, some positions can be doubled up. Like, let's say, for instance, I'm a parent and my student goes here. I can count as the parent. If I have a board member, or I have a member that's on there that's a community leader, I have them represent as a community leader. Like, one person, she was a manager of AutoZone, and she represented us as a community leader. You can, there's ways to work around those things, but as long as you have that representation of the community members and the board member there, and make sure it's just not off and signing off and having minutes, somebody taking minutes, detailed minutes of the session. If you can, you can live stream it through Facebook for your school's Twitter page or Facebook. You can make it virtual as far as an option, make it a virtual meeting. That's another option as well. So that way you can have a digital meeting and use that meeting, place it on your webpage, and members that cannot make it, they watch the video, sign off on it, sign off on the sign off sheet, and then send it back to you. So there are different varying creative ways that you make sure you can meet all your representation for your advisory council. Of course, my school never went ramp, but it's just something to sign off on and make sure you have, just in case you feel like you go ramp, you have that documentation. That's one of the sticking points of advisory council. Make sure your advisory council is no bigger than 20 people. The more the merrier, but at the same time, you have more people, more opinions, but it's nothing wrong with many opinions. Let me take that back. Let me walk that back a little bit. It might extend your meeting out a little bit, but you want to have as much representation on your team as you can. But you can't limit the expression ideas, limit who could talk, and limit the possible the conversation to be only purposeful. Okay? Too many or too few can be ineffective. It just need to find out what works for you. So I would say I would meet in the middle with 10 to 12 people. That would be best. For my committee, it was 8, not counting the counselors. It was about, if you do count the counselors, about 10, 11. And the good thing about it, make sure that your data is on point. Make sure you explain your data, because some folks might be looking like, okay, this is wonderful. It's a nice graph. Yay, it's beautiful. What does it mean? Make sure you make it plain for everybody to understand it. That's the main thing with having a committee. Make sure they understand your data and make sure that they have an understanding. Another thing you can do with your advisory council is what I did my last school, I'm going to do this year. Create a little icebreaker for them to participate in, like, what is the role of a school counselor? Oh, I have 12 questions on mine. That might be a lot, but some folks might not really know what we do as school counselors. Now, depending on what district you're in, some folks might know. Some folks might not. You never know. But you want them to leave out of that meeting, like, I understand now what their role of counselors are. I understand what they do and what they should not be doing. So just making sure that is an understanding that you get out of your first meeting. And then when you come back for your second meeting, they have a better understanding what your role is, and they can better help advise, which is the name, advisory council. One thing I never knew, membership terms, 1 to 3 years. Some folks might want to stagger it. Specify terms, initial invitation, time commitment, and define the role of those people on your council. Now, when you talk about define the role, some folks might say, how long we meet, when we meet, what's the purpose of this, how long is it going to take out of my life. Really, when you look at it, if you count reading the email, 2.5 hours is should be the time for your advisory council. An hour for your fall, an hour for your spring, max, and 30 minutes of reading the email and going over that. If you do like a follow-up in between the fall and the spring, and do a mid-year meeting. So that way, everybody in stakeholders like, okay, we don't have to meet. We just see the data, sign off that I have seen the data. I understand. If you have questions, you can email it and then follow back up with that person with the reply. So that way, if they have any questions, you want to take up time with another meeting, you can just do that by email. So to me, that is the greatest way to have advisory council. The one thing I miss about when I was in Bibb, not getting a chance to do, is I believe we could have went around. And if I would have was there for another year or two, I think we could have ramped in 2 years. We had the data, we had everything. I think we could have had at least the elementary and middle schools ramp real easily for the things that we were doing. That's my take on advisory councils, because to me, everything else we do, the advisory council part is the hardest part to me. It's the meeting part and putting everybody together on different schedules and making sure we all collaborate and congregate and get together. That's the hardest part to me. I could be wrong. Leave me a voice message and tell me why advisory council support on you. Matter of fact, is the advisory council the hardest part of the ramp process? Let me know in some voice comments. I might put a poll up. That's a good idea. We'll be right back. My housekeeping. Sit tight. Of course, this is the part of the show we go over my housekeeping items. Of course, you can find my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and of course, Spotify. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/Fabian-Vix and click on the button that says become a supporter. Don't have to be you. You can tell your friends about, hey, I got a friend that does a podcast, does great work. If you'd like to contribute 99% per month to help us keep on creating content, that'd be great. Donate about $1, $5, or $10. Any contribution would be greatly appreciated if you would like to make donations. You can follow me on the Facebook accounts connection with Fabian Vix. You can follow me on the X or the Twitter at FadeToPSC. I'm looking at trying to start going live on my podcast for start doing live streams because I think it's going to be pretty cool to start doing that. That's something I want to do. I'm doing that on my sports podcast. I would love to do this with school counseling. Have different guests come on. Make it like a Monday night live type thing or something like that. We can get you guys to come on and chop it up about school counseling or anything else you want to talk about. But that's my deal. So that's my housekeeping for this week. Oh, forgot. GSCA is coming in a couple weeks. If you haven't registered yet, go ahead and register for the conference. It is November 1st through the 3rd. I will be there. I'll be presenting on school to tips and tricks for GSCA counselors. I'd love to see you in the place. Right back, my final thoughts on award season. Fabe's final thought. So this year, I participated in the 2023 Georgia School Counselor Association award nomination process, where I went out for the Emerging Leader Award. While I wasn't selected, I wanted to highlight the dope people that were winners. And I wanted to give a shout out, first of all, to Janetta Mayo from Jefferson County Middle School, where she is a solo counselor with a caseload of about 550 students. I think it's an amazing job that Janetta won, and she's representing her school community and her county, and you make all your counselors from Jefferson County look good. Congratulations. Also wanted to give a big congratulations to our 2023 Counselor of the Year, Gabrielle Brundage from Myers Middle School in Savannah, Chatham County, where she was also the Emerging Leader winner for Georgia in 2022. I just want to say congratulations to you and all the winners of the various awards this year. I want to say as a counselor, as a colleague, I appreciate all your efforts for our counselor community in Georgia and may that your efforts continue to showcase and present our focus of student success for present and future counselors in Georgia. I want to say thank you for listening to my podcast, and I'm out. Second nature, keep it cheap in my head like it's second nature.